Local voters head to the polls on Tuesday, and a national Native leader was in Haines recently for the Alaska Historical Society Conference. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Tuesday is Borough Election Day in Haines and Skagway. Let's start with the details for Skagway. Polls open at 7 a.m. at the Borough Assembly Chambers in City Hall. Polls close at 8 p.m. On the ballot are seats for mayor, assembly, and school board. Current Assemblymember Mark Schaefer is the sole candidate for mayor, and current school board member Darren Belisle is the only candidate for his school board seat up for election. For assembly, there are two open seats and four candidates. None of the candidates currently serve on the assembly. They are Tim Cochran, Spencer Morgan, Tyler Rose, and Christoph Duppy Takaro. And there will likely be a third new assembly member shortly after the election. That's because it seems apparent that Schaefer will be elected mayor. If that does happen, then he will resign his assembly seat. And that means the remaining members of the assembly will have 30 days to appoint a person to fill the vacancy. That person will serve until the next regular election. In Haines, polls open at 8 a.m. and are open until 8 p.m. There are two polling places. The in-town polls will be at the American Bald Eagle Foundation. Voters in the Haines Highway Precinct will vote at the Klahini Valley Fire Department on Mosquito Lake Road. There are two assembly seats up for election in Haines, and the ballot for that election is a bit interesting. Only two candidates originally filed to run as candidates, Rob Miller and George Campbell. Miller later said he was withdrawing from the race, although he missed the official deadline to do so, so his name still appears on the ballot, along with Campbell's. Then, two people filed to run as write-in candidates for assembly, Mario Benassi and Diana Lapham. There are three school board seats open on the Haines ballot. Four people filed to run for those seats, including incumbents Artie Miller and Sarah Swinton, along with new candidates Scott Dottridge and Lisa Schwartz. Kim Larson filed to run as a write-in for the school board. Also on the Haines ballot is Proposition 1. This question asks voters if the Haines Charter should be amended to specify that individual rights do not apply to artificial entities. Polls in both communities close at 8 p.m. Tuesday. We hope to bring you election results on the air and as we get them after 8 p.m. on Tuesday, so join us on KHNS from 8 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday evening. For more election information or to see sample ballots, go to skagway.org or HainesAlaska.gov. This year's Alaska cruise ship season has ended. Close to 1 million passengers sailed through Southeast this summer, with many traveling on to points north and west. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has this season wrap-up.
It was a good summer pretty much everywhere in Southeast Alaska, so we should all have good memories of the season, right?
Our days are usually better on the crummy days, believe it or not.
Thias Schaub is a jewelry designer who's part of the Juno Artist Gallery. The retired lobbyist is one of about 24 painters, carvers, printmakers, photographers, and potters who run the store as a cooperative. Her family is also in the flight-seeing business, so she knows warm and sunny skies bring in more of those customers. But when it rains, it's better in the gallery.
So they're wandering around town, and we end up, all the shops in the downtown area kind of benefit, and, you know, they've got money to burn.
The gallery is one of hundreds of businesses around Alaska catering to summer tourists. They include gift shops, bus tours, salmon bakes, photo safaris, and gold rush shows.
I would say for the 30 to 40,000 Alaskans like myself that depend on the visitor industry for our livelihood, it was a good season.
John Binkley and his family run paddle wheel riverboat tours out of Fairbanks. The former state lawmaker is also president of the Cruise Line International Association's Alaska chapter.
We finally pulled back from a low point here a few years ago to the 1 million visitor mark on the cruise side. And although we're not quite back to where the peak was, we're headed in that direction now.
I think everybody's into the new economy. It's the new norm, and if we're going to go on vacation, we might as well just go and do it.
Jeannie McFarland is vice president of the Prince of Wales Island Chamber of Commerce. She and her husband also own McFarland's Flotel, a lodge near Thorn Bay.
We have a ton of returning people, and they bring their friends and their friends' friends, and of course it makes our business survive.
Small-town lodges and other off-the-beaten-path attractions cater mostly to independent travelers. Most larger businesses depend on those aboard cruise ships. This year's projected million-passenger mark was expected to be the best since 2009, before politics and the recession brought them down. Binkley says a couple of late-season factors made the total lower.
We lost a few ports of call due to weather, and also there were some mechanical problems with one of the ships, and a couple of the actual cruises were canceled near the end of the season.
But still, it was a good year, and that's part of a trend.
Between 2010 and 2012, visitor industry employment increased by 7% in Southeast Alaska. That's 400 jobs.
Melanie Shivens of Scheinberg Associates authored a recent regional economic report. She presented it at the Southeast Conference annual meeting in Sitka. Shivens says despite recent growth, next season will be a bit different.
In 2014, the number of cruise ship passengers visiting the region actually might be slightly lower than it is this year by 23,000 passengers. And that's because two Princess ships will be redeployed and replaced with a small amount of less capacity.
Binkley says the shuffle comes as lines try to avoid new, stronger federal air pollution regulations along the U.S. coast.
They've been working under the assumption that the emission control area, which requires them to burn very expensive fuel, would be in effect, and that influenced their decisions to move ships to other locations.
Carnival and some other cruise lines have won waivers from those rules in exchange for installing new emissions control equipment. But that happened after schedules were set, so any change won't hit Alaska till 2015. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
We'll also have a closer look at Skagway's visitor season on our Tuesday evening newscast.
Last week, the Chilkat Center for the Arts was buzzing with workshops and presentations for the Museums Alaska and Alaska Historical Society's joint conference. The keynote speaker, Jacqueline Johnson-Peta, Executive Director of the National Congress of American Indians, spoke to curators from across Alaska on Friday.
I'm from the Raven House here in Haines, but I was raised in Juneau. I raised in Juneau, went to school in Juneau, and then I went to D.C.
Peta saw that it was necessary for the 566 tribes of Native Americans to have a unified voice and be represented in Washington. She's a member of the Central Council of the Tlingit-Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, a board member of the Sealaska Corporation, and the executive director of the National Congress of American Indians. She spoke about how important it is to preserve the story and artifacts of local tribes.
These people here from the museums, they all have something to do with the most important things of our cultural survival and revitalization, and they're a critical partner.
Peta said that the American Indian story is not only represented in history, but also in current events. She spoke of the issues that affect the Native American tribes now.
Well, the biggest issue I think everybody in the country is dealing with happens to deal with budget. So, Indian budgets, just like everybody else's budgets, are under sequestration, attack of sequestration, and the impact of what that really means to our tribal communities and our tribal citizens.
Sequestration is a practice of mandatory spending cuts in the federal budget when the debts of a government exceed its revenue. This practice of sequestration threatens many services that are offered to the public. PETA is concerned for the welfare of tribal health care and tribal clinics, as well as the education system.
What decisions are we making for our children's education system? How are we dealing with Indian child welfare? How are we dealing with, the environmental climate change issues that will be affecting our children's generations?
The future is held by the young people, and it's important for the youth to have a connection to culture and each other. Her years as the director of the Native Youth Culture Camp showed her that partnerships with people who are not Native Americans are very important because strong advocates and supporters come from outside the Native population. The Boys and Girls Clubs are an example.
I love the Boys and Girls Clubs. Native Boys and Girls Clubs are just one vehicle for helping to strengthen our youth so they have the kind of resiliency they need. And they just need to have that kind of strong fortitude that that we used to teach our ancestors, ancestors taught our children about. And I just want them to have that resiliency to be able to just take advantage of opportunities and have the confidence to do it.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Olive Del Sol.
And a quick update on the moose season. As of Monday afternoon, the moose count for this season stands at 21 with this breakdown. 10 have had a spike fork configuration, 9 with a 3-brow tine, 1 at 50-plus inches, and 1 sublegal moose. Fish and game biologist Stephanie Sell said Monday that for now, she plans on keeping the season open through October 7th. Even though more than 20 bulls have now been taken, she says she doesn't yet see any indication the season would have to close earlier than next Monday. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Olive Del Sol and Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. I'm Margaret Friednauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We air news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News, and on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend, and you can listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.